Hello and welcome to the Captain Tom Onsen, scenically located in the Japanese mountains. We run a simple tight ship here where we have a podcasting studio, a spa for terminally ill people, and we have the convenient parking lot for disposal of Yakuza bodies, you know?
I'm sorry, you are really reaching with the, like, Captain Tom, like, Onsen reference here.
I mean, it's being knocked down this week, so I thought, you know, it's fitting. Well, as of week of recording, not week of hearing.
Yeah, but if we're going to talk about things happening of week of recording.
Oh, boy. Yes, no, I found out via a fucking Destiel meme that King Charles has ass cancer.
Oh, that's not what I was going to talk about. Yeah, he has cancer.
And he might not be pursuing chemo.
People are probably going to be like, you should, like, oh, is that sad? You should be empathetic. Nah, fuck him. Fuck him. I want a French Revolution, every single motherfucking still living monarch in the world. You can bleep that or whatever if you need to, but...
Listen. Well, I mean, no, it's not an actual threat because you can't action it. But what I think we've learned from you and me playing Crusader Kings 3 is that immediately after the Super Queen dies, and then her heir dies, like, you have a series of shit successes until you finally get to the one who's a genius and has good enough stats because...
Doing, like, the eugenics incest program.
Yeah, we do the eugenics incest program, exactly, and until everyone's dead.
Yeah, you reach the problem where, in fact, if you're doing, like, the weird incest eugenics program in CK3, if you're just playing and staying around in, like, a specific region for long enough in a playthrough, you will, like, get to the point where whenever you're trying to do, like, a political marriage to get, like, a good ally, every single time, no matter who you're marrying, you get, like, the warning alert being, like,
this chance of incest is high.
Yeah, this person is closely related to you.
Listen, when in Rome,
and it's like, and it's so impossible to, like, track how this person is related to me.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, that was, like, the miserable, like, little opening to the episode. So now we can talk about the movie that's about suicide.
I mean, this is the one. Like, I think this is the thing. I really, like, at the end of this movie, I ran up against this, like, wall where it's very much like, the responsible answer here is not suicide. The responsible answer is, you have two bullets in this gun. There are two people.
There are two cops.
Yes. Yes. The responsible answer is, don't fucking kill yourself. Kill the cops. Make it look like they had the fight with the Yakuza because you know where those bodies are. And just skip town.
Yeah, I'm going to be real with you. I don't... I think his, like, chances of any kind of future would be significantly worse after killing two cops than after just killing...
I mean, again,
guys,
you make it look like there was a fight between the cops and the Yakuza. Simple.
Well, I mean, considering, like, the Yakuza guys have been, like, dead for a significant amount of time longer, and he would have to drive, like, all of the way back and, like, put the bodies there. And they would have, like, died in considerably different temperatures, and, like...
At the end of the day, we're just gonna... Fatalism is something I 100% got before I fucking transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
And now my approach to fatalism is, oh no, I will fuck it. I'm going to live. I'm living as myself. It's wonderful. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to get my fucking GRS. I'm going to live my fucking life. And anyone that gets in my way, I'm going to... Oh, fuck. It's not working.
Yeah, anyone... You're going to wish her a very nice day.
Yeah, with a halberd. Like, I'm going to with a gun.
Yeah. Anyway, of the things I would do to the royal family, we are talking about the 1997 Takeshi Kitano movie Hanabi.
Yes, and High Storm. So we get
High Storm.
The movie opens with some funky paintings, and
it does.
We see again, we're in the era where credits are in fact pre-movie, so this whole movie is a post-credit scene. Again, better than anything Marvel has ever made.
Well, I want to sort of talk a little bit about who our director and star of this movie
is. Yeah, I mean, I was going to get to that, because our director is introduced as a Beast Takeshi. I read it as Beast Takeshi, because I scanned over it, and I was like, wait, what?
He used to be sort of like a sort of like comedian slash sort of like variety show host type kind of guy.
Two Beats, I think it was his comedy.
Yeah, he was like part of like a comedy duo, and he was like he was known as Beat Takeshi, which is a nickname that still kind of stuck. Like, he sort of still uses it to some degree, but
I mean, it's doubly ironic because one of his most famous things is the game show Beat Takeshi's Castle.
Yes. So if you thought his name was familiar, this is the Takeshi's Castle dude. Yes,
it's also the guy from fucking Battle Royale.
Yes. He's done like various movies as an actor and director, and sometimes, as in the case of this movie, actor and director.
Hmm.
This motherfucker loves putting himself in a movie.
Yeah, but he's real good at it. Like,
he is. Yes,
got the opportunity in Violent Cop. He's just kept up with it.
His whole thing is like, I put myself in movies where I play a guy who really wants to kill himself.
Mm.
That might have something to do with his personal life. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't find out. I think we should mention now that we're going to be seeing a lot of paintings throughout the movie, and all of these paintings are from the director, who I want to point
who
out,
in,
like,
his in universe is being painted by a highly suicidal man.
Yes.
Who, but out of the context of this movie, was also painted by a highly suicidal man.
I mean, what's funny is his art has gotten so much acclaim, it's still getting, like, shows. I think he's got, like, a permanent exhibition somewhere where they have, like, his comedy tapes in the basement, like...
Is there, like, nothing this man hasn't done?
Transitioned.
In, like, the art space, honey.
He hasn't written an award-winning novel yet.
No, I don't think he's done that. Yep.
I mean, to be fair, he has done screenwriting, so...
So, yeah.
Because he's an actor, director, and writer.
Yeah, he does a lot, yeah. So, he also, a few years before this, directed another great movie, Sonatine, which I will probably also make you watch at some point.
I know. His first movie was a movie called Violent Cop.
I still haven't got around to watching that yet, but...
No, I mean, it says what it is on the tin, though.
I think from what I know about it, it's still, like, the same kind of, like, violence is, like, self-destructive sort of nihilist kind of vibe to it. And don't quote me on this, because this is, like, me trying to, like, have bad memory from, like, a while ago. Mm-hmm. But I do think I remember him talking about that movie. Mm. He was sort of, like, talking about how, like, a lot of people took away from that movie being like, yeah, this is great, cops should be murderers like this. And he was like, no, I was saying they shouldn't be like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Takeshi Kitano, sort of a... I wouldn't say former comedian, because some of his work, even his later work, is still, he does some comedy stuff sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of it's like his work is still inspired by his comedy work.
Mm-hmm.
Is the best way to describe it. Like,
but yeah, if you're a British person my age, yeah, you are probably more familiar with him as the guy that made that weird game show that Craig Charles narrated reruns over.
Really racistly, unfortunately. Yeah.
I barely remember like his like that like version of it. I don't remember it that well, but now that you say like it was really racist, I'm like, yes. Oh god, it was really racist, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. That was the thing, like, I'm a big fan of Robot Wars, and you may also, if you are, like, again, British from a certain age, you may really remember Craig Charles being the voice of Robot Wars.
Also, Red Dwarf.
But... Yeah, Red Dwarf as well, yeah. It depends on your age. Like, if you're, like, my age, you really remember him for Robot Wars, and then you remember him for the other stuff. So it really
Whatever like soap opera he was on, I forgot which
Corey.
One.
He was on Corey.
Yeah. If you're really old.
Like, I mean, this is the thing, like, you say some things in a certain voice if you grew up a certain time, and you can just remember it, like, I'm going to steal this thing from Twitter, but you can imagine Craig Charles saying this, close your windows and lock your doors, because the Fanny Masher is on Robot Wars. Good night! He says, he always had, like, stupid rhymes like that.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to be like the kind of you couldn't make that these days anymore, but I definitely think you fucking couldn't make Takeshi's Castle anymore. Because, like, they were straight up fucking killing those Japanese dudes with, like, the obstacles they were putting them through.
So about that, the article Takeshi's Castle injuries.
Oh, fuck me, man. There must have been so many.
No,
about
that.
What? Really?
The website Takeshi's Castle Injuries was the guy that made it admitted, yeah, this is all made up. Most people were actually okay.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Shit. I can't imagine how, like, because those fuckers were getting, like, clocked so hard in the head and, like, thrown into, like, a lake.
I mean, the thing is, you're landing in the lake, that's the thing. Like, and I mean, maybe we don't know how many of these people develop CTE later in life, but
there's got to be, like, several.
I mean, we saw what happened when they tried to remake fucking Takeshi's Castle. It was called Total Wipeout. Thanks, Hammond.
Ugh. Yeah, but since he had so Takeshi Kitano's had like, particularly
and
in Japan for
Korea.
Yes, but for a long time, particularly in Japan, his sort of movie career was sort of seen as like a, oh, he's sort of trying something different. It'll never work out. He's a comedian.
And then everyone gets real confused when it works out real good.
Yeah. Well, I think it's one of those interesting cases where, sure, as more of like a niche sort of hit, but he sort of became more of like a sort of cult favorite sort of actor and director outside of Japan first, I feel.
Yeah, no. There's a lot of, I mean, going back to Seventh Samurai again, a lot of people have called him the heir to Kurosawa.
Yeah, the heir to Kurosawa. People outside of Japan love him. People inside Japan fucking hate him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
But yeah, also, if you're in the realm of video games, you might be familiar with the infamous game Takeshi's Challenge. A Famicom game that he sort of lent his name to, and very interesting game. So, from what I remember at this time, it was in the 80s, and Taito approached Takeshi Kitano being like, we want to make this Famicom game, and we want to have your name attached to it. And his basically whole thing was that he would only agree if they let him basically have like full creative control of the game. And like his whole thing was that he fucking despised video games and wanted to make the game as like miserable as possible to play.
I love it. I love the 90s and the 80s where the attitude to video games was just, fuck you.
So, like, they basically made a game where you are a, like, depressed Japanese, like, salaryman.
No.
And, like, your boss treats you like absolute shit. Your wife hates you. And the entire cryptic solution of this game is that you have to, like, quit your job and, like, get severance pay from your boss, and then you have to, like, gamble away enough of your money so that you can limit how much money you give to your wife as alimony in the divorce. And then you, like, pick up a bunch of weird esoteric skills which you can use to go, like, treasure hunting. And, like, have to go through this, like, weird gliding section.
This sounds like a future Mandalore October video.
And, like, then you have to go, like, cave diving and, like, find some treasure.
Yeah,
and
no,
if you didn't, like, deal with, like, this one horrible old guy, like, earlier on in the game, you get killed, like, right at the end of the game.
This is some Mystery of the Druids ash shit.
And if you, die at any point in this game, you have to go back right to the start. There's no password system.
Yeah, this is some Mystery of the Druids ass shit.
And it's a game that fucking punishes you as well, because throughout the game, there are, like, Yakuza dudes running around in the street who will punch you and take part of your life away. And they are almost impossible to avoid.
Oh my... See, this is why you do the Detective Halligan thing. You mix some apple juice with some mortuary alcohol and be like, here, drink this.
And if you beat the game and you don't have, like, the weird old dude who kills you, if you've already dealt with the guy, you open the treasure chest and then you just get a message saying, well done, you won the game.
I love this guy. This guy is great.
Yeah, and then, interestingly, decades later, would appear as a major plot character... one of the major characters in Yakuza 6.